Well, welcome again. Wow, we are glad that you're here today. And I'm Pastor Tom. I'm the youth pastor here at Bayside. And Tom there has been a youth leader with our youth ministry for several years, longer than I've been around. And he's been a partner in ministry with our youth for as long as I've been here, and just a great brother in Christ. And so I appreciate, Tom, your words, your song, and just your commitment to our church, a legacy continued that your mom and dad started here. So we do appreciate that. I've had a tradition as I've given messages here at Bayside for my time here to show pictures of my family. And so I'm going to do that again this morning, just show a couple of pictures before I get started of my family. And so here's a picture. I think this was taken on Easter of me and my wife and my two boys. That's Sarah, and then Garrison's on the right and Josiah's on the left. As you can see, I've got the bush smile going, and I haven't taught them yet that you're not supposed to show your teeth when you smile, but all right, people give me a hard time about that, but that's about as best as I'll smile for a picture, as long as I know it's coming. And then there's another picture, I think, of the boys. There they are. Those two go well together, and if you didn't hear by now, I hope that you know by now, if you see my wife, it's probably pretty obvious. We are having a third child, and since two boys are good, why not have three? So I'm here to tell you today, we just found out this last week that we're going to have another boy, so we'll have three bush boys, so we're very... Yeah. We weren't hoping one way or another. I will say this, though. We kind of were expecting another boy. My mom and dad have 9 grandkids. This will be their 9th grandchild. The first was a girl and 8 boys in a row. And so the streak continues. Me and my brothers are doing everything we can to just keep it going. We're building a soccer team or something. So anyway, another boy coming. We're due in September, so we're excited about that. So those are our boys. But it was actually, I want to get right into the sermon this morning. It was Memorial Day weekend, 2006, 6 years ago. And I preached a sermon, the first sermon that I ever preached here at Bayside. And it was Praise You in the Storm was a sermon. And I don't know, maybe there's a couple people here that were there that day. I don't know, maybe not. And I had been a pastor for 3 months here at Bayside, and I had been in ministry for just a couple of years. And when I gave that sermon, it was loosely based off of the song Praise You in the Storm by Casting Crowns. And it was also the one-year anniversary when my best friend's dad died in a motorcycle accident. And so it was a tough sermon. I cried the whole time, which doesn't surprise some of you at all. And so I started off with a bang. I mean, seriously, I was like bawling the entire sermon. I had just everywhere, tears everywhere. So I've gotten less and less every time I've preached. So anyway, during that sermon, I talked about storms. And I didn't know then, I was very new to ministry, and I didn't know then the realm of storms. Like I said, I'd only been in ministry for a couple years here at Bayside for a few months. And now 6 years later, I have a broader understanding of storms. I have a broader understanding of the lives of people that I interact with every day in ministry here at Bayside and in our community. And I specifically have a broader understanding of you, our congregation. Now, I don't know every single one of you. In fact, there's some of you that I don't know if I've ever seen before here today, and I'm glad that you're here today. Some of you, though, I know very well. People like Tom, who I've been working with for 6 years, every week, week in and week out, and other people that are here. And so I've gained this broader understanding about storms. I am amazed. I am personally amazed at the magnitude of storms that are raging in the hearts and the lives of the people that I know and deal with here at Bayside and in our community. I believe that everyone here has been in a storm. Everyone here has been in a storm. In fact, I believe that everyone falls into one of three categories today. You are either entering a storm, you're engulfed in a storm, or you're exiting a storm. If you think about it for just a second, and just think about where you are, you're going to fall into one of these three categories. Either you are entering into a storm, you're engulfed, immersed, consumed, overrun, swamped by a storm, or you're exiting a storm. I want you to think today, where are you at? Where are you at with whatever storm you might be dealing with? Maybe a storm that you're entering into, maybe a storm that you're engulfed in, or maybe a storm that you're just getting out of. There's different feelings that go with each one of those, But all of us have been in storms. We all face different storms. You might be wondering, well, what's a storm? Storms can be many different things. They can be small things, they can be big things. But storms essentially are trials. They're conflicts. They're things that we deal with in a fallen world. Let me just give you a brief list. And I'd be willing to bet that every single person in here is affected by one of these things that I list off. These are some storms, trials, and conflicts. Cancer, divorce, death of a friend or a family member, failure, betrayal of a relationship, loss of employment, abuse, false accusations, drugs and alcohol. The list can go on and on. But I'm willing to bet that every single one of us has dealt with or is in the midst of a storm, even just about those few that I mentioned. And the list could go on and on. The point is this. Storms are inevitable. Storms are inevitable. God is not surprised by your storm. And so I really want you to think today, as I speak, as I share some scripture and just some thoughts about what I've learned in 6 years of ministry here at Bayside and working and dealing with many people who are engulfed in storms. Just think about what is your storm, whether you're entering into it, whether you're engulfed in it, or whether you're just exiting it. Because more than likely, if you're just exiting it, another storm is on the horizon. And some of you can say, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Because it seems just when you get the peace and the clarity and clear of one storm, another one comes rumbling right in. Am I right? And so storms are inevitable. God is not surprised by your storm. Then the question is this: what do you do in a storm? What do you do in a storm? No, really, I want you to think about that for a second. How do you act in a storm? I want you to think personally in your life. What do you do in a storm? Think about the storms that you faced in your life. How did you act? How did you react to the storm? How did you live in the storm? Think about this. What was your focus? I found that when in a storm, my focus tends to be on the problem. My focus tends to be on how it makes me feel. My focus tends to be on me. And I'm just being honest. The results of this are mixed. But I know that when my focus is on me, I tend to struggle through the storm. The people of Israel faced storms. In the Old Testament, they were a nation that became enslaved in Egypt. But they escaped by God's hand and wandered in the desert for many years. God sent them to explore the land he had promised to them, the land of Canaan. Some of you remember this story. The report came back that the land was good, and it flowed with milk and honey. But the report also was that the land was full of giants, a strong people that lived there. And though they knew that the land was good and that God had promised this land to them, the people feared the giants. Their focus was not on what God had promised them, but rather on the giants that they would have to face to enter the land. The result? Punishment. Punishment from the Lord, more years of wandering, and they had to wait longer to enter the land that God had for them and made for them. They had to wait an entire generation because their focus was wrong. Their focus was wrong. So then, the next question for me, as I've thought about this, as I've prayed about this, is if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing in the storm, then what should you do in a storm? And that seems like a simple question, and actually, it's going to seem like a simple answer to me when we think about it, when we write it down, and we look at the scripture. But when you're in the midst, when you're engulfed, when you're immersed, when you're consumed, when you're overrun, when you're swamped, it's not so easy. I know from personal experience, and I believe that everyone in here that's been in a storm knows that it's not so easy. It's easy to write it down, it's easy to say it, but it's not so easy to live it. So, what should we do in the storm? What does the Bible say? Well, Philippians 4:4 is a great verse. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say, rejoice. Wait, what? Rejoice in a storm. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. You may have heard this verse before also. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness," or perseverance. "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Count it all joy when you're in your storm. That doesn't make any sense. Count it all joy. Count it all joy when you find out that someone in your family has cancer. Count it all joy when your best friend dies. Count it all joy when you get fired or you lose your job. Count it all joy when you have a friend or family member who's immersed in drugs and alcohol. Count it all joy when you're in the midst of a divorce. Count it all joy when you're failing. Count it all joy when you're in the betrayal with a relationship. Count it all joy. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Or does it? Think about this for a second. Why should we rejoice in the midst of our storm? Why should we have joy? You may be thinking that that is backwards. You may be thinking that that is ridiculous. And especially if you're here today and you're in the midst, in the deep midst of a storm, you might be thinking that to count it all joy and to rejoice in this midst is ridiculous. And you may be thinking that you'll never do that. I don't know. But what I do know is that God's word is very clear and obvious when it comes to storms. We are taught, told, and commanded to rejoice and to consider it joy. Now, I know you might also be thinking that, who am I to say this? But I'm just going to pull the God card out. And it says in God's word, and I'm just the messenger, so please don't blame the messenger. I've prayed over this, and I've prayed that God would just speak his truth through his word. Because I, again, do not know what storm you might be going through. And I can stand here today and tell you all about storms that I've been through, but it doesn't make a difference because it doesn't compare to what your storm is. Because each one of us has a personal investment, a personal attachment to whatever we're dealing with. And so I just say that so that your heart will soften to the word of God today. And my prayer is that today when you leave this place, you could rejoice. You could count it all joy regardless of your storm. How? How is this possible? First of all, we need to accept it. It stinks, but we need to accept it. In Job chapter 1, verse 21, this is what it says. Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." This is Job's first words after he found out that basically his entire family died and was taken from him. This is his first words. "The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We could go into a whole series of many weeks talking about this exact subject in regards to the life of Job. And many of you probably have heard about Job and know of Job. And if you've been in a storm and you've talked to someone who's tried to encourage you, they've probably told you, well, look at Job, and then you don't have to worry about it because all the worst things in the world possibly could have happened to Job. And so I'm not going to get too far into the details with Job, but I think he's a great example for us because of what he says. "The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord." Job accepted that God was sovereign. In Romans 8:28, Paul writes, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." We must accept that regardless of our storm, regardless of free will, regardless of an uncontrollable world, God is still in control. God sees the big picture. God sees your storm from a different perspective. We must accept that storms are inevitable, and we must accept whatever storm that we're in. Regardless of how bad it is, regardless of how uncontrollable it is, regardless if it's somebody else who's controlling it, we must accept the storm. Number two, we must understand it. Paul understood what was happening. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Paul understood what was happening. He knew he was going through storms, but he still had confidence. And then later on in that same section of Scripture, in verses 16 through 18, he says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Paul had confidence. Paul knew that God was sovereign. Paul understood the storm that he was in. He understood that God was using this storm in his life. He understood that he could do things in this storm that would bring glory to God. In Romans 8:18, he also says, "For I consider that the present sufferings," the sufferings of this present time, "are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." Paul understands that what he is going through now is nothing compared to the reward that he will receive later, the glory that comes to the faithful of God. And if you have faith in God today, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then no storm can hold you down. I can say that with confidence, knowing no matter what happened in your life, no matter what is happening in your life, and no matter what is going to happen in your life, that if you have Christ in your life, no storm is too tough for you to get through. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Accept it. Understand it. And change your focus. Thirdly, we need to change our focus. We must change our focus. Paul leads the way on this again. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." If we are believers, it's a mandate. We set our minds on God's perspective, not on our perspective. We change our focus. We remember that God is greater. We remember that God is creator. We remember that what we have in Christ means that no matter what happens on this earth, when we die, we win. We go to heaven. We celebrate in that. We accept and understand the storms that we're going to go through, and we change our focus. Instead of focusing on the pain and the hurt and the unknown and the anxiety and whatever else you may be facing in a storm, we take our focus off of that, and we put our focus on Christ, on what Christ did, and what we have in Christ, and the glory that comes with faith in Jesus Christ. We accept it, we understand it, we change our focus, and we need to worship Him. We need to worship Him. We need to worship Him. Psalm 99:5, just one taste of the Psalms, says this: "Exalt the Lord our God, worship at His footstool, holy is He." I could go again in a whole other sermon series on worship even just focusing on the Psalms and worship. And you know what? We are going to do that this summer. Pastor Mark is going to be going through a series on worship. But when we're in the storm, changing our focus means that we worship Him. We take the focus off of whatever it is, and we worship Him. Throughout the Bible, we are shown that we should be worshiping God during our storms. Job never ceased to praise God during his misery. Paul continually glorified God in his challenges. And sometimes we just need to stop in the middle of our storm and worship. And worship. I was looking at the book of Psalms this morning, and as I was paging through, I was just looking for any words that I could just say and read that were worship. And it's real easy to find them in the book of Psalms. It's full of worship. And you know what it's full of? It's full of authors who were going through storms. David, when he was going through storms, wrote many of the Psalms. And so he's writing about the struggles he's dealing with in one sentence, and then in the next sentence, he's glorifying and worshiping God. And so I encourage you, if you're in the midst of a storm, search through the Psalms and worship in the midst of your storm. Accept it, understand it, change your focus, worship Him. What does that look like? I want you to think for a second. What does that look like in your life? What does that look like in your storm? Remember that to worship God is not just to sing to Him, and we'll get into that more when we go through this worship series, when Pastor Mark preaches on that. But worship isn't just singing praises to God. Worship isn't just the 15 minutes that we sing here on Sunday mornings. Worship is much more than that. Worshiping God is bringing God glory. So in our storms, we should be doing anything that will take the focus off of our storm, off of us, and bring the glory to Him. In my sermon in 2006, Praise You in the Storm, I said this: stop fixing your eyes on the storm and start fixing your eyes on who is riding it with you, God. So what should we be doing to worship? How do we do this? What does this look like in our life? Certainly singing praises to Him has helped me in the past. Serving others has allowed me to get the focus off of me and my problems. Serving in the church, encouraging somebody else, spending exclusive time in God's Word, writing a journal, spending longer amounts of time in prayer. All of these things, all of them, are things that have helped me to get my focus off of me and get my focus on God during my storm. And if you're wondering, where do I turn in the Bible to start even anywhere in the midst of a storm? And again, I just say, go to Psalms. Go to the Psalms and you'll find it. And you'll find amazing words of encouragement to those who are going through storms. So today I just encourage you to think about in your life, in your storm, whatever you're dealing with, what are you doing? How are you living? Where are you going? Where is your focus? I want to close by asking a question, and it's the most important question in regards to your storm and really in regards to your life. What is your foundation? Think about this. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, it says this: everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house. But it did not fall. It did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall. Great was the fall of it. When our foundation is in Christ, our house stands firm in the storm. When our foundation is not on anything else, our house falls apart in the storm. It's as simple as that. Our foundation is our witness. When our foundation is in Christ, we are able to live through even the strongest, toughest, and worst storms any person in this world could ever imagine. When those who don't know Christ see how we live, when they see our foundation in the midst of the storm, it will speak volumes for Jesus Christ. So I ask you this morning, where have you laid your foundation? What do you do in your storm? What do you do when you find out that someone in your family has cancer? How do you act? How do you live? What do you do when a close family member dies? What do you do when you lose your job? What do you do in the midst of a divorce? What is your foundation? What do you do in your storm? Remember, God is not surprised. Accept it. Understand it. Change your focus. Worship Him. And the final thing I'll say today is that we worship God because we trust Him, we trust that He is in control, and that we know that He is still at work. When you're in a storm, stay the course. God is still at work. Let's pray. Father in heaven, each one of us in this room is dealing with something. Each one of us in this room faces a storm today. Some of us have small things that we are dealing with, Lord. And some of us in this very room are dealing with cancer and death and divorce and betrayal and loss of employment and drugs and alcohol. God, we turn to You. Lord, we turn to You. Our trust is in You. Our hope is in You. Our strength is in You, God. We change our focus from us and from our problem and from our storm, Lord. And we turn our focus to You. And we worship You, Lord. I pray, God, that You would be glorified today in our storms. I pray that You would be glorified this week in our storms. God, I pray that You would be glorified in the midst of each life in this room while we go through the storm. And God, I pray that You would ride this storm with each one of us. We thank You, Lord, and we worship You because You are good and Your love endures forever. We thank You for Jesus, our foundation. And it's in Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.